We live on Mars, the moons of the outer planets, and we're heading for the stars. There have even been experiments in downloading human minds into the quantum foam.
Room for what?
For the Anastasis. We intend to restore all human souls back to the beginning of the species. Every refugee, every aborted child. We intend to put right the past, to defeat the awful tragedy of death in a universe that may last tens of billions of years.
How wonderful, he thought.
100 billion souls restored like the leaves of an autumnal tree.
What will it be like?
But, he said slowly, are they the same people?
Am I me?
Some philosophers argue that it's possible. Leibniz's identity of the indiscernibles tells us that you are you, but
you don't think so.
No, I'm sorry. He thought that over. When we're all revived, what will we do next? She seemed puzzled by the question.
Why?
Anything we want, of course. She took his hand.
Come. Kate is waiting for you.
Hand in hand, they walked into the light. Afterward, the concept of a time viewer, though venerable, has been explored only sparingly in science fiction, perhaps because it is so much less dramatic than time travel. But there have been a number of remarkable works on the theme, ranging from Gardner Hunting's The Vicarian, 1926, to Orson Scott Card's Pastwatch, The Redemption of Christopher Columbus, 1996. One of us has briefly sketched its implications in previous works, Childhood's End, 1953, The Parasite, 1953. Perhaps the best known and best example is Bob Shaw's Slow Glass classic, which shares our title, Analog, August 1966. Today, the notion has the first glimmers of scientific plausibility offered by modern physics and a resonance with our own times, surrounded as we are increasingly by the apparatus of surveillance. The concept of space-time wormholes is well described in Kip Thorne's Black Holes and Time Warps, Einstein's Outrageous Legacy, W.W. Norton, 1994. The proposal that wormholes might be generated by squeezing the vacuum was set out by David Hochberg and Thomas Kephart, Physics Letters B, Volume 268, pages 377 through 383, 1991. The very speculative and, we hope, respectful reconstruction of the historical life of Jesus Christ is largely drawn from A.N. Wilson's fine biography, Jesus, Sinclair Stevenson, 1992. For assistance with the passages on Abraham Lincoln, the authors are indebted to Warren Allen Smith, New York correspondent of Gay and Lesbian Humanist, UK. The idea that primitive Earth was afflicted by savage glacial episodes has been proposed by Paul Hoffman of Harvard University and his co-workers. See Science, Volume 281, page 1342, 28 August 1998. And the notion that primitive life might have survived Earth's early bombardment by sheltering deep underground is explored, for example, in Paul Davies' The Fifth Miracle, Penguin, 1998. Thanks are due to Andy Sawyer of the Science Fiction Foundation Collection, Sydney Jones Library, Liverpool University, for his assistance with research, and to Edward James of Reading University, and to Eric Brown for reading drafts of the manuscript. Any errors or omissions are, of course, our responsibility. This book, of its nature, contains a great deal of speculation on historical figures and events. Some of this is reasonably well-founded on current historical sources, some of it is at the remoter fringe of respectable theorizing, and some of it is little more than the author's own wild imaginings. We leave it as an exercise to the reader to sort out which is which, in the anticipation that we are not likely to be proven wrong until the invention of the worm can itself.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The Light of Other Days by Arthur C. Clarke and Stephen Baxter. Copyright 2000 by Arthur C. Clarke and Stephen Baxter. Read by Dick Hill. and performance copyright 2000 by Brilliance Corporation. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number. 1-800-222-3225 or visit our website at www.brilliancaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Corporation, Post Office Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan 49417.